I'm Mike Piazza. There's word of a congressional deal to extend the Patriot Act. Officials say key Senate Republicans have reached a tentative agreement with the White House on a compromise. Those Republicans had joined a Democratic-led filibuster late last year that blocked passage of a bill extending the life of the anti-terror law. Critics claimed that the versions before Congress didn't do enough to protect civil liberties. The president tells the National Guard of a second 9/11-style plot. According to George Bush, 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was behind a plan to fly a plane into a Los Angeles tower. But, says the president, the plot was thwarted with the help of U.S. allies more than 3 years ago. Bush says the plot was broken up after a raid by a Southeast Asian country he didn't name. He said the raid is one of many reasons al-Qaeda is badly weakened and fractured, but he warns it is still lethal. Christian Science Monitor freelance reporter Jill Carroll wants out of Iraq and is pleading for help from America. The kidnapped American journalist is seen in a video shown today on a private Kuwaiti TV channel. The 28-year-old Carroll was kidnapped January 7th in Baghdad. She appeared in two previous videotapes, both shown on Al Jazeera television. A January 17th video set a January 20th deadline for the release of all female prisoners in Iraq, and a video broadcast on January 30th showed Carroll crying for the release of those prisoners. Girls, it turns out, are quicker than boys at trying marijuana, alcohol, cigarettes, and abusing prescription drugs. This trend reversal is noted in a new government analysis, even as teen drug use is declining overall. The National Survey on Drug Use Health, released by John Walters, the National Drug Policy Advisor, indicates 1.5 million girls ages 12 to 17 started drinking alcohol in the year 2004. That compares with nearly 1.3 million boys. Among the same age group, more girls than boys started smoking cigarettes and using marijuana in 2004, the most recent year for which statistics are available. Neil Entwistle was arrested in England. He is charged with murdering his wife and child. A statement read by a family spokesman says it is incomprehensible how that love and trust was betrayed in the ultimate act of violence. Massachusetts prosecutors say financial problems may have driven Entwistle to kill his family. They say he originally may have intended to kill himself as well. And the FCC does an about-face on cable TV pricing. It now says subscribers would save money if they paid only for the channels that they want. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Boy, the you got your hip boots on, I guess, today. Did you see the liar standing up there today addressing the National Guard Association, or I don't even know what it was, in California? About an Al-Qaeda attack against the Liberty Building. Of course, there is no Liberty Building. It used to be called the Library Building, not because of the library, but because it's near the library. Never mind. Bush was just reading from the script that Rove put in front of him. His body language screamed, "I'm lying. Someone stop me. I'm lying. Please stop me. I know this is going to make me burn in hell because my Savior said I shouldn't lie. Please stop me. Somebody stop me. Carl, can you stop me? You can't stop me? Okay, well, then I'll just keep going." We'll get to that a little bit later tonight. How much worse can it get, really? Living in a country where the leaders of this country condone using food and sex as weapons, instruments of torture, basic primal needs, instincts. Maslow's, is it Maslow? Kathy, you're the psychologist. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Isn't sex and food and some sort of shelter and in the top, that those are the ones that are needed first. The people in the Bush crime family have used sex or the debasing of the sex drive as a form of torture. We saw the pictures from Abu Ghraib using cultural parameters, crossing outside those parameters deliberately and specifically in order to bring humiliation. And what's going on at Guantanamo where it concerns food? Oh, my God. From the New York Times. United States military authorities have taken tougher measures to force-feed detainees engaged in hunger strikes at Guantanamo after concluding that some were determined to commit suicide to protest their indefinite confinement. In recent weeks, guards have begun strapping recalcitrant stubborn, snotty detainees into what are referred to as restraint chairs, sometimes for hours at a day, to feed them through tubes and to prevent them from deliberately vomiting afterward. Detainees who refuse to eat have also been placed in isolation for extended periods in what the official said was an effort to keep them from being encouraged by other hunger strikers. The measures appear to have had drastic effects. The chief military spokesman at Guantanamo, Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Martin, said yesterday that the number of detainees on hunger strike had dropped from 84 at the end of December to 4. Lieutenant Colonel, hell waits for you. Some officials said the new actions reflected concern at Guantanamo and the Pentagon that the protests were becoming difficult to control and that the death of one or more prisoners could intensify international criticism of the detention center. Could intensify international criticism of the detention center. Colonel Martin said force-feeding was carried out, quote, in a humane and compassionate manner, end quote, and only when necessary to keep the prisoners alive. He said in a statement that, quote, a restraint system to aid detainee feeding, end quote, was being used, but refused to answer questions about the restraint chairs. Lawyers who have visited clients in recent weeks there criticized this measure, particularly the use of the restraint chair, as abusive. Thomas Woolner, a lawyer in Washington, who last week visited the 6 Kuwaiti detainees he represents, said it is clear that the U.S. government has ended the hunger strike through the use of force and through the most brutal and inhumane types of treatment. It is a disgrace. The lawyers said other measures used to dissuade the hunger strikers included placing them in uncomfortably cold isolation cells, depriving them of so-called comfort items like blankets, and sometimes using riot control soldiers to compel the prisoners to sit still while long plastic tubes were threaded down their nasal passages and into their stomachs. The Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs. The Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, Dr. William Winkenwerter Jr., said in an interview, quote, "There is a moral question. Do you allow a person to commit suicide, or do you take steps to protect their health and preserve their life?" Dr. Winkenwerter said that after a review of the policy on involuntary feeding last summer, Pentagon officials came to the basic conclusion that it was ethical to stop the inmates from killing themselves. Winkenwerter said, "The objective in any circumstance is to protect and sustain a person's life." Since last year, the protests have intensified, a sign of what defense lawyers say is the growing desperation of the detainees. After dozens of detainees began joining a hunger strike last June, military doctors at Guantanamo asked Pentagon officials to review their policy for such feeding. Around that time, officials said the Defense Department also began working out procedures to deal with the eventual suicide of one or more detainees, including how and where to bury them if their native countries refuse to accept the remains. A Pentagon official said, quote, "This is just a reality of long-term detention. It doesn't matter whether you're at Leavenworth or some other prison. You're going to have to deal with this kind of thing." Until yesterday, Guantanamo officials had acknowledged only having forcibly restrained detainees to feed them a handful of times. In those cases, the officials said, doctors had restrained detainees on hospital beds using Velcro straps. Two military officials who insisted on anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the question said that the use of restraint chairs started after it was found that some hunger strikers were deliberately vomiting in their cells after having been tube-fed and that their health was growing precarious. In a telephone interview yesterday, the manufacturer of the so-called emergency restraint chair, Tom Hogan, said his small Iowa company shipped 5 of the $1,150 chairs to Guantanamo on December 5th and 20 additional chairs on January 10th using a military postal address in Virginia. Mr. Hogan, the manufacturer, said he did not know how they were used at Guantanamo and that he had not been asked how to use them by military representatives. Detainees' lawyers said they believe that the tougher approach to the hunger strikes was related to the passage in Congress of a measure intended to curtail the detainees' access to United States courts. Federal district courts have put aside most lawyers' motions on the detainees' treatment until questions about applying the measure have been litigated. One lawyer said because of the actions in Congress, the military feels emboldened to take more extreme measures vis-a-vis the hunger strikers. The courts are going to stay out of it now. Mr. Wilner, who was among the first lawyers to accept clients at Guantanamo and represented them in a case in 2004 before the Supreme Court, said a Kuwaiti detainee told him last week that around December 20th, guards began taking away items like shoes, towels, and blankets from the hunger strikers. The detainee said that lozenges that had been distributed to soothe the hunger strikers' throats had disappeared and that the liquid formula they were given was mixed with other ingredients now to cause diarrhea. On January 9th, the Kuwaiti detainee told his lawyers an officer read him what he described as an order from the Guantanamo commander, Brigadier General Jay Hood of the Army, saying hunger strikers who refused to drink their liquid formula voluntarily would be strapped into metal chairs and force-fed. The Kuwaiti detainee said he heard, quote, screams of pain, end quote, from hunger strikers in the next cell as a thick tube was inserted into his nose. Another lawyer said one of his three Bahraini clients told him about 10 days ago that more than half a group of 34 long-term hunger strikers had abandoned their protest after being strapped in restraint chairs and having their feeding tubes inserted and removed so violently that some bled or fainted. The attorney added, quote, my client said that during these force feedings, too much food was given deliberately, which caused diarrhea and in some cases caused detainees to defecate on themselves. He went on to say that his client understands that officers told the hunger strikers that if they challenged the United States would challenge them back using these tactics.
Civilians, kill more children, letting history take its course over the graves of the nameless.
No American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
You will rule the very freedom that you have came to fight for. Not by our hands will we supply the weapons and funding for the annihilation of families on foreign soil. Not by our mouths will we let fear silence us. Not by our hearts will we allow all peoples or countries to be deemed evil. Not by our will and not in our name.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
For all those things you no longer need,
I sold it.
Bring them to I Sold It, the number one seller on eBay, with hundreds of drop-off stores nationwide.
I sold it.
Our trained staff will photograph your item, create a great eBay listing, collect payment, then pack and ship. You just cash the check.
I sold it.
Stop by or call for a free eBay appraisal. It's easy and there's no charge if it doesn't sell.
I sold it.
I sold it, the easy way to sell on eBay. To reach an I Sold It store, call 877-I-SOLD-IT. Toll free, 877-I-SOLD-IT. Franchises available.
It's about 24 past the hour. So, to answer my own question, how much worse can it get? How much lower can these filthy sons of bitches in the White House take this country? Probably much lower. I've got an article here I hope we get to tonight. It was by NBC 30 in Connecticut about American soldiers now who are dying of depleted uranium poisoning after they come home. I have to censor myself in here every night because I know I've got a microphone and a satellite hookup and radio stations to carry the program and a platform. And I have to be very careful because as this outrage builds, I make allusions to or veiled references to what you know what I'm talking about right now. And I can't come out and state it. Free speech, as anyone will tell you, has its limits. But this just it just continues. There's no stopping them. There literally is no stopping them. Is there? As I wrote in the little mini blog at the blog page Air America today, if, as seems to be the fact in almost every case, the prisoners at just Guantanamo do not have the information that these torturers are trying to get out of them, some will confess to whatever story the torturer is demanding in order to survive. Hello? Winston Smith agreed that when O'Brien was holding up four fingers, it was actually five. If that's what it took to stop the pain. And at some point, Winston actually believed that can happen. The synapses in your mind, your brain can be blown to pieces. Yeah, it's five fingers. I have no idea what you say it is, O'Brien. It's five, then I believe it. I love it. I love the fact that you're holding up five or six or three. Some prisoners at Guantanamo, having lost all hope that the torture will end in any manner other than their deaths, or being released when they have had their humanity stripped out of them. Like Winston, remember in the novel, they didn't kill him. Remember the last line in the novel. Some of these prisoners have decided over the past several months to deny their captors that ultimate act, their own deaths, and decided to kill themselves because of the futility. Now, some of you people listening to this program have had relatives in situations like this, in the Holocaust, in Southeast Asia, in Africa. You've had family members in countries that your family fled in order to not die and not to be tortured. You have experience in this. Your family members have told you about this. It is now extant here. The only way that they can retain control of their personal integrity, these prisoners at Guantanamo, is to commit suicide. Jesus Christ, think about that for a second. Just think about it for a second. The only way they can retain their personal integrity is to kill themselves.
About the world as it is, why must we go on here? Why can't we live and live? Not on the air of darkness, there is a peace train.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
For all those things you no longer need,
I sold it.
Bring them to I Sold It, the number one seller on eBay, with hundreds of drop-off stores nationwide.
I sold it.
Our trained staff will photograph your item, create a great eBay listing, collect payment, then pack and ship. You just cash the check.
I sold it.
Stop by or call for a free eBay appraisal. It's easy and there's no charge if it doesn't sell.
I sold it.
I sold it, the easy way to sell on eBay. To reach an I Sold It store, call 877-I-SOLD-IT. Toll free, 877-I-SOLD-IT. Franchises available.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
26 before the hour. Now, there's this. This happened, I think, on Tuesday. The House International Relations Committee that is chaired by this adulterous, murderous, killer, old man, soon going to croak, Henry Hyde. That's the chairman. The committee was handed resolutions by the members of the Democrat, or the Democrats on the committee. Three resolutions seeking information about the Bush administration's policies on torture. The resolutions demanded, first, information on the practice called extraordinary rendition, that's sending suspects abroad to countries where they would be tortured or murdered. Second, documents about U.S. policies regarding U.N. anti-torture conventions. And third, documents and records involving Condoleezza Rice's December trip to Europe, during which she was dogged by reports of alleged secret European jails. Now, the three resolutions were presented on the committee and defeated along party line votes. Henry Hyde, this filthy, hypocritical, gonna burn in hell, Henry. This guy is a Catholic that is a member of all the, you know, Knights of Columbus, all these secret Catholic organizations. A hypocritical son of a bitch. If there were a hell, it would be perfect for Hyde to step off the elevator. Only the elevator went down. And there's a 30-foot-tall, cloven-hoofed, fire-breathing Satan waiting for him. Said, Henry, you made it. Henry Hyde said the Democrats who submitted the resolution should, quote, at least silently confess to themselves that their actions pose real dangers to our country, end quote. How low can it go? Much lower. Much lower. With people like Henry Hyde, Dick Cheney, George Bush, Tom DeLay, all of this filth, this human waste that is running this country, how much lower can it go? So the Democrats, according to this adulterous son of a bitch, whose wife died knowing that her husband was a cheating bastard for 15 years, he cheated on her, lied to her face. And people in Illinois who know that Henry Hyde's wife died a broken woman after he broke up another marriage. Henry Hyde has the unmitigated audacity to suggest that Democrats should silently confess that their actions pose real dangers to our country. You filthy pig. So if inquiries are made about using restraint chairs, that poses a danger to our country. If people vomit and sit in their own excrement screaming in pain, and Democratic Congress, members of Congress want to bring this out in open hearings. These are people who are posing a threat to this country. Let me tell you something. I know a certain percentage of Americans still support this poisonous bastard, this George Bush. And all I can say about that, to you Bush supporters who are listening, your humanity is gone. It is gone. Your sense of morality or justice, whatever you possessed, if you possessed any prior to this bastard assuming power, is gone. Do you not understand that? Do you not understand that in supporting the policies of this administration, you are stripping out of your own self justice, truth, morality? Do you not understand that? You people driving around with the bumper stickers that support Bush, if you have children, especially teenagers, and you wonder why your teenagers are telling you to go to hell by their activities, it's because they understand. They know what you're supporting. Do you know how difficult it must be to look at your parents and say, my parents support torture, murder, wars based on lies? Do you understand that? I don't care how many times a week you go to church, into these temples of superstitious nonsense, and think that you are purging yourself from this guilt. I don't care how many times you do it. Your ass is doomed. And I'm not talking about in some sweet hereafter. I'm talking here and now. You are no longer humans. You are not. You have removed from yourself those very things that identify you as a human being. Compassion, a sense of justice, truth, empathy. I have an 18-year-old daughter, and I watch Molly, 18-month-old, what did I say? 18-month-old. And I'm fascinated with this one. And I hate to admit it, but more fascinated than with my other children. Maybe it's perspective. Not that I don't love my other children, they know that. But fascinated in watching Molly develop. And what Kathy and I have noticed in the past couple of months is Molly developing a sense of empathy. It's astonishing to watch this. A little human being that has absolutely no focus except this illusion of central position. The world revolves around me. Everything is about me. Everything is about me. When I cry, they put a breast in my mouth. When I crap my pants, they change me. When I'm hungry, they feed me. They play with me. Everything's about, all of a sudden, at what, 16, 17, 18 months, all of a sudden, in a normal human being, empathy starts to show itself. Empathy. Oh, my God. Did that hurt, Mommy? She can't mouth the words. But if she sees her mother is in a bad mood, or I get upset about something, Molly will now stand there with a quizzical look on her face, like, what is that? Empathy. So I watch this in an 18-month-old, and I think to myself, then where is it in Republicans, in adults? What is wrong with you people? Maybe that's what your Savior meant when he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Innocence, empathy, compassion. It's astonishing. It's astonishing to read this stuff. Kathy and I attended a conference here in Atlanta a few months back of lawyers, the very lawyers I just read to you about from the New York Times. They were there. They were trying to tell the Georgia ACLU, listen, this is what's going on with these detainees. And of course we sat there, and of course we absorbed, and of course we were shocked, and of course we listened. But you Republicans, you Henry Hyders, you Bushers, do you realize how dead you are inside? I don't give a damn how big your house is or how much money you're making or what kind of a McMansion you think you can afford or where your kids go to school. You are dead. You are dead. You're dead. You have nothing inside you that identifies you as a human being. If you support this, if you either support it explicitly or implicitly. Jesus, God, I mean, I can understand why maybe you don't want to be a Democrat, you don't want to be a liberal. Then don't be! But for Christ's sake, are you not going to stop this madness being perpetrated by your own president? I read this today in the Times, and I sat there, and I you know, it's like I said, it's everything I can do to restrain myself when I realize that I have a privilege granted to me by, in this case, Air America Radio Network, to have 3 hours a night to get on here and talk about any damn thing I want to. Any restraint put on me comes from me and my knowledge of what I'm allowed and not allowed to say vis-a-vis the laws of this country. I know what sedition is. But I sit here during the day putting together what I'm going to talk about, and I read this stuff, and I look at this, and I think, no, this cannot be. This cannot be. another level down. This cannot be. This can't be. Not in my United States of America. This can't be. And it is. And it gets worse. And it goes on. And there's no checking it, no stopping it. And Republicans celebrate that. They see it as a goddamn football game. Yes, we won! We score another touchdown! More corpses! More death! More torture! We're winning! You liberals don't have a chance! You Democrats don't have a chance, you whiny asses! We win! We win! Touchdown! Touchdown! Point after! We win! What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I'd be willing to declare a truce, an utter and absolute truce. Never insult you again. If you would just somehow reactivate inside you, Mr. or Miss Conservative, Bush supporter, whatever you are, a sense of justice, a sense of reality, a sense of compassion. In other words, is it possible for you people to do what an 18-month-old struggles to learn? Is that possible? Or have you become so totally dead that you're starting to rot?
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. I can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud is coming down. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
We'll be right back. Bedtime Lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 8 before the hour. During the rest of the program, we're going to talk about what Bush, the lies Bush told today. Also, the apparent, I don't know the word to use, the depth of the scandals that seem to be surrounding, filling up the Republican Party leadership in this country, is starting with Bush. Including the Speaker of the House, the Senate leader, everybody. It's just incredible. If this were the Clinton administration, there would be already 5 or 6 or 20 bills of impeachment introduced. So, I don't know. It turns out now that, according to grand jury testimony, Dick Cheney is the one who ordered Irving Libby, to release the name of Valerie Plame. It was Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney. Now both Bush and Cheney have committed crimes. Both of them are subject to impeachment. Now, this minute, that crimes that are verifiable. What they did to set up September 11, 2001 is beyond belief. Who can entertain that? Who can hold that idea in their minds? But the two chief executives in this country set us up for an attack. So we can't even go there. But here we have two verifiable crimes committed by these people, by Bush and Cheney, violating the FISA law on Bush's part and violating CIA or whatever the hell the law is, the national security laws on Cheney's part by releasing the name of Valerie Plame. Here it is. Here it is. Is there not a single damn Republican in the United States House of Representatives that has the least bit of remaining any kind of respect for this country, for institutions? Is there not one of you, not one of you, who have the decency or the courage or the presence to bring bills of impeachment against these bastards? Don't you know what they're doing? Don't you say, please. Do the Republicans know what the Republicans are doing? Yeah. Crime family. Indeed. All right, let me do a couple of phone calls here. Mike is calling from Salem, Oregon. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yes, this is Mike. Am I on the air?
Yes, sir, you are.
I'm madder than hell. This is ridiculous. How do we get these people out of there? You can't vote them out on some machine. Who ever heard of a machine? Up here, we do it all by mail. Pencil, number two, pencil, and paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. My stepdaughter went to Mosul, Iraq, jerked her right out of college. She was inside that cafeteria 6 hours before that guy blew himself up.
Uh-huh.
That was hired by a private contractor.
Sure, sure.
Unbelievable.
Name it. Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. They're the ones that own everything in Iraq, all the contracts. They are the ones responsible for murderous attacks on our people. But you've got to consider, Cheney, Bush, these people, they thrive on murder. They drink blood. They eat flesh. I'm speaking metaphorically here, but they do. These are killers. They have zero respect for your relative or any soldier that's over there.
I bet when Bush walks by the button, his hand over it just shakes. He wants to push that button for making a nuclear war so bad. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
He wants a nuclear war bad. And you know what? They're wrecking the planet. And you know, Mike, I can't wait till the big mothership comes down and takes care of this stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, listen, got to go. Mike, thanks. I'm sorry about your stepdaughter. Hang in there, okay?
She's back home, married, and living with Grandpa, doing her master's at OSU. I love you guys. Thank you. Keep up the good work. I support everything you do.
Thanks, Mike. Then I'm happy about your stepdaughter. Take care. We'll be right back. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
The only real reason I like to watch award shows is for the faint possibility of hearing a big star saying something political that will piss a lot of people off. Last night, amidst the standard fare of Grammy's banalities, one man took a valiant stand for justice on the stage. It wasn't Bono, nope, it wasn't even Kanye West. The man of the hour was none other than Burt Bacharach, known to my little brother's generation as that singing dude in the Austin Powers movies. Bacharach won a Grammy for his latest, In Our Time, a highly political album produced by Dr. Dre. When Bacharach took the stage, he didn't waste anyone's time by thanking his manager, his publicist, and his 37 assistants. Instead, he declared, "I never like to be lied to by a girlfriend or an agent, and certainly not by the President of the United States." My generation's got a new hero, and he's got silver hair. Thank you, Burt Bacharach. I'm Sam Graham Felsen for Air America Radio. For more, check out thenation.com.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Piazza. Christian Science Monitor freelance reporter Jill Carroll wants out of Iraq and is pleading for help from America. The kidnapped American journalist is seen in a video shown on private Kuwaiti TV. 28-year-old Carroll was kidnapped January 7th in Baghdad. She appeared in two previous videotapes, both shown on Al Jazeera television. The January 17th video set a January 20th deadline for the release of all female prisoners in Iraq. A video broadcast on January 30th showed Carol crying as she appealed for the release of those prisoners. There's word of a congressional deal to extend the Patriot Act. Officials say key Senate Republicans have reached a tentative agreement with the White House on a compromise. Those Republicans had joined a Democratic-led filibuster late last year that blocked passage of a bill extending the life of the anti-terror law. Critics claim that the versions before Congress didn't do enough to protect civil liberties. The president tells the National Guard of a second 9/11-style plot. According to George Bush, 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was behind a plan to fly a plane into a Los Angeles tower. But, says the president, the plot was thwarted with the help of U.S. allies more than 3 years ago. Bush says the plot was broken up after a raid by a Southeast Asian country he didn't name. He says the raid is one of many reasons al-Qaeda is badly weakened and fractured, but he warns it is still lethal. Girls, it turns out, are quicker than boys at trying marijuana, alcohol, cigarettes, and abusing prescription drugs. This trend reversal is noted in a new government analysis, even as teen drug use is declining. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health, released by John Walters, the National Drug Policy Director, indicates 1.5 million girls ages 12 to 17 started drinking alcohol in 2004. That compares with nearly 1.3 million boys. Among the same age group, more girls than boys started smoking cigarettes and using marijuana in 2004, the most recent year for which statistics are available. Neil Entwistle was arrested in England. Entwistle is charged with murdering his wife and child, and a statement read by a family spokesman says it's incomprehensible that the love and trust was betrayed in the ultimate act of violence. Massachusetts prosecutors say financial problems may have driven Entwistle to kill his family. They say he originally may have intended to kill himself as well. And the FCC does an about-face on cable television pricing. It now says subscribers would save money if they paid only for the channels that they want. The latest conclusion from the FCC is reversing the agency's earlier finding that consumers wouldn't benefit. Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Bush was in Los Angeles. Where was he? Where was he today? He was he's talking to the National Guard Association in... was he in Washington? I believe he was. Anyway, he made the lie today, another lie, and if you watch any of this on television, which I watched it on CNN's Pipeline, which if you haven't gotten, you don't if you're a news junkie and you don't have Pipeline, you don't know what you're missing. Of course, it'll destroy your day because it's not a single commercial anywhere. 4 raw feeds at any given time. You just take your choice. Jesus. You talk about mainlining, but after a while you don't even feel the needle go in. Trust me. So I was watching on CNN's a Pipeline, Bush making the claim that his wonderful America loving government had foiled the terrorist plot meant to bring down the Los Angeles building. Of course, he didn't know the name of the building. What do you call it, Kathy? The Liberty Building. It used to be called the Library Building. It's called neither now. It's the U.S. Bank Tower. But that doesn't matter. Bush was reading the script. Bush said that just a month after the September 11, 2001 attacks that he and his crime family engineered, terrorists, quote, planned to hijack another airplane by using, are you ready? Shoe bombs! Yeah! Shoe bombs, that's what? To breach the cockpit door. They're going to use shoe bombs! Jesus, God. Who's the guy that got busted who had the shoe bombs? Richard Wright, was that his name? The guy who was on a flight from Europe over here, and they said he had a shoe bomb. Well, so here we are. You talk about a cartoon, an absolute cartoon world that this son of a bitch lives in, Bush. He said that the target, had the hijacking been carried out, would have been what he called the Liberty Tower. There is no such thing, but that doesn't matter. Osama bin Laden himself was involved in the plot. Emmanuel Goldstein himself was involved in the plot, which was carried out by Southeast Asian men. Which was carried out by East Asian men. The U.S. Bank Tower, formerly known as the Library Tower, after the nearby Los Angeles Central Library, is 1,018 feet tall. But the Bush crime family stopped it! Stopped it! We stopped it! Yes, we did! See, this is what we do. We love America. We got election coming up. We're going to keep hammering this right up your rectum. We are the party of saving America. In his speech, he said that the what he called the aggressive strategy of bringing the war to the terrorists, Jesus, had not cost the United States international support, but rather has enhanced America's standing. A shining example is Pakistan. Yeah, Pakistan. Bush said a little over 4 years ago, Pakistan was only one of 3 countries in the world that recognized the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. Today, Pakistan forces are risking their lives in the hunt for Al-Qaeda. Oh, Jesus, really? Bush said that the information, it didn't come from wiretaps. Oh, damn. It came from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Remember him? The guy who looked like John Belushi after a real bad night? Remember the arrest picture? Well, how did they get the information from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? Applying the right kind of pressure to a man's testicles, you can get him to say anything. Torture produces whatever answer you want. But it was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was the mastermind of the September 11 attacks, I thought it was bin Laden, who was captured in 2003, had begun planning an attack to fly a commercial airplane into the tallest skyscraper on the west coast of Oceania, the Library Tower in Los Angeles, or as Bush called it, Liberty Tower. The mayor of Los Angeles said, "What? What? Okay, so he wasn't the mayor back in 2002. Mayor Antonio Villar Argosa said he was blindsided by Bush's announcement on this hijacking plot and described communication with the White House as, quote, non-existent, end quote. Villar Argosa, that's difficult, you try saying it. Villar Argosa said, quote, "I'm amazed that the president would make this announcement on national TV and not inform us of these details through the appropriate channels." He said, "I don't expect a call from the president, but somebody." Now, one of our bureau chiefs, and for tonight, I'm going to leave her unnamed, her location, and so on and so forth. But one of our bureau chiefs has worked in, let's call it the, I don't want to say weapons industry. It does. She has worked in that, but it was a combination of private contracting, enforcement, if you know what I mean, that involved weaponry, that involved rapid movement, private contractors hired by the Bush crime family. She was employed there for a while and moved on. She sent me an email. She said, "Have you heard W's speech from this morning? Shoe bombs to breach the cockpit door? You'd think these guys could at least come up with a story that sounds plausible. This story is ridiculous. It's like something from a kid's cartoon. Do these guys realize how silly they look? They should hire a science fiction writer to make these stories sound more realistic. If it weren't for the fact that they are destroying our country and government, and they're killing so many people, this administration could have their own Naked Gun movie." And then her name and her new area of employment. This is from America Blog, sent to me by a listener. "Good evening, Mike. I found this in America Blog. We also have to ask ourselves, one, why wouldn't Bush have used this in the 04 election? We saved Los Angeles. Two, why didn't they get out the crayons back then and raise the terror alert? Growing questions about whether Bush lied today about the supposed threat to L.A. that he supposedly foiled. Los Angeles mayor knows nothing about the threat. Bush's claim to have thwarted an attack on L.A. is disputed by former FBI official. In 2004, FBI counterterrorism official said he knew of no thwarted al-Qaeda attacks after a CIA official claimed last year that the government had, quote, probably prevented a few aviation attacks against both the East and West Coast, end quote, since 9/11. John Pistole, or Pistole, P-I-S-T-O-L-E, the FBI's counterterrorism director, said he was not sure what the CIA was referring to. Oh, you son of a bitch. We have always been at war with East Asia. Always. The other item here is Irving Libby told a federal grand jury that his superiors authorized him to give secret information to reporters as part of the Bush administration's defense of the phony intelligence used to justify invading Iraq. That's according to court papers filed by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. Now, during the break here, think for a moment, who were Irving Libby's superiors? In the first place, it should be singular. He had a superior. Who was that?
In your face, don't lie to fool us all. Never said you're sorry. Don't lie to go to war. And you laid it all to waste.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
That's right. You can go to the head of the class. Irving Libby's one superior was Dick Cheney. Libby has been indicted for lying to the FBI. Lying to the grand jury, lying to somebody. That's all he's been indicted for. He hasn't been indicted for obstructing justice. He hasn't been indicted for his criminal acts. But the rat bastard behind him, Dick Cheney, has been indicted for nothing. Do you think that Patrick Fitzgerald, the prosecutor in this case, will now seek an indictment of Dick Cheney? I wonder if you can. For Dick Cheney to tell Scooter Libby, screw the Scooter, that's a baby's name. For Dick Cheney to tell Irving Libby that Valerie Plame was an embedded CIA or a secret CIA agent may be legal, since both of them are in the, both Cheney and Libby are in the highest levels of government. I don't know. I don't know how the law reads. But it should be crystal clear at this time that Judith Miller and Robert Novak and Irving Libby and Dick Cheney and anyone else involved in this, they knew exactly what they were doing. These are lying sons of bitches who will say anything, do anything, attempt to destroy anybody any way they can who gets in their way in an possibly effective manner. Anybody. Now, it's not just Libby's testimony about Cheney being the guy who set him up. Jack Abramoff said in correspondence made public today that Bush met him almost a dozen times, which kind of shreds the White House lie. Abramoff wrote in an email to Kim Eisler, national editor for the Washingtonian magazine, quote, "The guy, Bush, saw me in almost a dozen settings, joked with me about a bunch of things, including details of my kids. Perhaps he's forgotten everything. Who knows? The messages were made public by the American Progress Action Fund, a liberal activist group. Eisler confirmed their accuracy, but said he didn't intend them to become public." Abramoff added that Bush invited him to the Texas ranch. Bush is a liar. Bush is a filthy liar, a murderous liar. But isn't this what he did to Ken Lay? Same thing. So what are you going to do, Jack? Huh? Are you going to rat out this son of a bitch, or are you going to take the fall? Or have you already cut a deal? What you going to do? What you going to do, Jack? Where are the Republicans? I thought lying about an affair was an impeachable offense. How about lying about this sort of thing? Is this impeachable? Nah. The White House has also now acknowledged that Abramoff participated, a filthy punk-ass lobbyist participated in staff-level meetings at the White House? Well, that's not as bad as lobbyists for the energy industry participating in a principals meeting at the White House. Huh? These people are filthy. And Reuters reports, although the Abramoff scandal has mostly focused attention on House Republicans, including Tom DeLay, at least two Bush administration officials have been implicated. David Safavian, the former White House budget, has been charged with lying and obstructing investigation into the stuff with Abramoff. Stephen Griles, former number two at the Interior Department, has come under scrutiny after allegations he tried to block a casino. Yeah, on and on and on. A former top aide to California Republican Representative John Doolittle now says that trips were made to Puerto Rico, paid for by Jack Abramoff's lobbying firm. House rules, of course, prohibit lawmakers and staff from taking trips paid for by registered lobbyists or lobbying firms. Oh, yawn. David Lopez was Doolittle's chief of staff in July 2001 when he spent a week in Puerto Rico on what he described on a travel disclosure form as a fact-finding trip. We went to Puerto Rico on a fact-finding trip, yeah. We wanted to find out the facts about what? What? What do we want to... Puerto Rican food? Puerto Rican beaches? Puerto Rican women? Puerto Rican drinks? What did we go to Puerto Rico for on a backbinding mission? Doolittle, of course, is a conservative ally of former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, who eventually should go to prison. I hope he'll go to prison. A member of the House GOP leadership. Doolittle accepted at least $14,000 in campaign money from Abramoff, tens of thousands of dollars more from Abramoff's tribal clients, wrote letters to the Interior Department on behalf of two tribes who were Abramoff's clients of Abramoff's, on and on. Boy, this Abramoff, this son of a bitch was everywhere, wasn't he? He was everywhere. And Bill Frist and Dennis Hastert engineering a backroom legislative maneuver to protect pharmaceutical companies from lawsuits. Jesus. God.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. Okay, very quick email here, and then I want you to hear the sound. This is from P2. Hey, Mike, Al-Qaeda could not have had a plot to breach cockpit doors only a month after 9/11 because they would have needed would not have needed any. It took the airline over a year to armor the doors. Al-Qaeda could have repeated the 9/11 plot any time except that the passengers would have stopped it just as they did on Flight 93 and that silly shoe bomber from France. The point the emailer is trying to make here is that if you take a careful look at the timeline that Bush claims all this is going to happen, the attack on Los Angeles, were the cockpit doors armored and locked at that point? You know, I don't know, but I get your point. All right, let's listen to what Bush said. We really only have one for you here. And then from some from Simple Scotty McClellan, Chucklenuts really played the 9/11 card today. I lost count how many times he referred to 9/11 in his 30-minute speech, how many times he said the word terror. But it was over and over and over. Somebody said in his speech today, what did I read? 30 or 60 times he used the word terror, terrorist. But then the fun really started when he suddenly revealed one of the mystery terrorist plots he uses to justify his illegal spying on Americans. But it wasn't spying that... Oh, never mind. Isn't it amazing the NSA hearings on his illegal activity begin in the Senate on Monday? And on Thursday, he trots out a colorful tale of a foiled terrorist plot. Too bad he didn't warn the good people of L.A. that they were in imminent danger of being attacked. Oh, well. It's not like they're a red state or anything.
In the weeks after September the 11th, while Americans were still recovering from an unprecedented strike on our homeland...
That you engineered.
Al-Qaeda was already busy planning its next attack.
Yeah. Horse snot.
We now know that... In October 2001, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of the September the 11th attacks...
I thought that was bin Laden.
...had already set in motion a plan to have terrorist operatives hijack an airplane using shoe bombs to breach the cockpit door and fly the plane into the tallest building on the West Coast.
What was that?
We believe the intended target was Liberty Tower. In Los Angeles, California.
As opposed to Los Angeles, Oregon.
Rather than use Arab hijackers as he had on September the 11th.
That dirty bastard.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed sought out young men from Southeast Asia, whom he believed would not arouse as much suspicion.
Whom he believed... Oh, Jesus, let me get through this speech. I'm hungry. My blood sugar is really plunging. Condi, can I go take a leak now? Oh, God. The Liberty Towers. What? Library, Liberty, who gives a damn? Oh, the body language, the tone of voice, you lying little bastard. Oh, my God. We will leave Bush playing with himself at that little speech today and move over to the simple Scotty McClellan.
This is a speech that... We had been working
on. Hold on just a second. All right, so the crack White House press corps had a lake full of questions for our quacking quackaroo to try to duck today about Bush's latest Terror, Terror Everywhere speech, with the added twist of a spanking, newly uncovered plot to attack L.A., reporter kicks things off with this. Scott, can I ask you a question about the timing of the president's speech today? Was it the president's intention today to draw a link in the public's mind between the NSA program and the bombing plots? Why now, given the ongoing discussion that's taking place about tactics in fighting the war on terror? Why today, after all these years, did the president seek to disclose the details about the foiled terrorist attacks in L.A.? You had February the 6th circled on the calendar for the NSA hearings. Is it just a pure coincidence that this comes out today?
This is a speech that... we had been working on for the last few weeks. The president has been having an ongoing discussion with the American people about the war on terrorism. This is the nation's highest priority. It's the president's top priority.
Yeah.
It's about protecting the American people.
Quack, quack.
And we're always looking for ways to inform the American people about our efforts and provide them additional information. As you know, it takes time to declassify information, and as time goes by, we might be in position to share more information about plots that was disrupted.
Oh, shut up, you dumbass. Oh, God. This is a speech that we have been working on for the last few weeks. Pretty much as soon as the Senate hearings into our illegal wiretapping were announced. Yeah. Takes time to declassify information. Oh, Jesus. And see what these people realize, what the Bush crime family realizes is the clay with which they're dealing. You know, the American public, the base, just ignorant sons of bitches. You know, really. Now, bear in mind, just last October, Bush referred to a vague 10 terrorist plots that had been disrupted thanks to his secret spying. But he said he couldn't tell us what those plots were due to national security risks. So the incredulous press corps wanted to know why a 4-year-old plot can be revealed today, but not last October. Oh, and the mayor of L.A. is kind of pissed, too. Reporter says, on the subject of information sharing, the mayor of L.A., Mr. Villaraigosa, today is complaining that he got no notification of all that the president planned to disclose this information about an alleged attack plot on the city. In fact, he said, I'm amazed. Scott, insofar as you said earlier that the White House is always looking for ways to inform the American people and keep us up to speed, why disclose the details of a plot that's now 4 years old?
In terms of, I haven't seen what the mayor said. I've been in meetings with the president, so I'll take a look at that. But my understanding was that we did reach out to officials in California and Los Angeles to let them know, I think it was yesterday, that the president would be talking about this. And the word I heard was that there's great appreciation for the notification that we provided.
Four years later?
In terms of this plot, over time, you're able to look at things and possibly declassify it in a way that won't compromise ongoing counterterrorism operations or won't compromise sources and methods. And so we're very sensitive to making sure that we don't do anything that would jeopardize sources and methods. But now that we're at a point where we believe that that information could be shared, we wanted to share it with the American people.
Yeah, see, we've had this incredible turnabout of affairs since last October. Oh, you lying pig. All right, now along those same lines, another reporter named Peter wants to know more about the White House rationale that information could be disclosed today that was white-hot super secret in October. Scott, I apologize if I'm still confused, but I wonder if you could tell us a bit more specifically what has changed since October when we were told that discussing details of this plot was inappropriate, and today. What has actually changed since October in that regard?
I don't know how I can be more clear to you. This is something that we had been talking about with the intelligence community and looking for a good example to highlight for the American people about the type of international cooperation that goes on that helps us disrupt plots. I think that's important for the American people to have a clear understanding of, so they have a clear and better understanding of the threats we face, and they have a better understanding of the efforts that are going on around the world to disrupt plots.
Sources and methods would have been compromised in October, but not today.
Well, Peter, we're always looking for ways to provide the American people with more information. That's what I said to you earlier, and maybe you didn't quite hear all that. I didn't say that. What I said was that they said it was okay now to talk further about this specific plot.
It would have been okay in October, but you chose not to.
I don't know how many times you're going to keep asking the same question. I think I've answered the question.
The reporter said, as soon as I get an answer, and then McClellan says, I think I've answered the question. He wanted to add, why do you hate America? But I guess he just didn't have the nerve to do it. Last one on this topic. Not only are the reporters skeptical about the timing of the information Bush disclosed today but about the plot attack on what Rosenbring called the Liberty Tower, they also didn't buy the premise of the planning of the attack. The reporter says, Scott, I wanted to just ask a follow-up about the L.A. plot. Is there something missing from this story, a practical application, a few facts? Because if you want to commandeer a plane and fly it into a tower, if you use shoe bombs, wouldn't you blow off the cockpit? Or is there something missing from this story?
I don't know what you're referring to about missing. I mean, I think we provided you a detailed briefing earlier today about the plot, and Fran Townsend, our Homeland Security Advisor, talked about it, so I'm not sure what you're suggesting.
If you are wearing shoe bombs, you either blow off your feet or you blow off the front of the airplane.
There was a briefing for you earlier today. I think that's one way to look at it. There are a lot of ways. to look at it.
Oh, there are a lot of ways. There's a specific plot using shoe bombs, and you just said there was a detailed briefing on this, but there are a lot of ways to look at it. I'm confused, Scott. I'm confused. On the torture and force feeding of detainees at Guantanamo, this reporter asked Scott, does the president think it's appropriate to force feed prisoners at Guantanamo?
Well, Mark, I think that the president, what he did was issue a directive to the military that all detainees be treated humanely, and that's what we expect.
The force feeding that apparently has taken place there has taken place within those guidelines. He's satisfied
with
that?
Well, I think that you've heard from military commanders about the steps that they're taking, and I think they describe it in a way that is humane and compassionate.
That one of the prisoners there has called it torture and thinks he's being abused.
Well, yes, we know that Al-Qaeda is trained in trying to make wild accusations and so forth.
Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, Scott. I'm sure you're a Christian, too. Maybe even Catholic with that name. Hell is going to have so much fun with you. You filthy, filthy liar. Finally tonight, well, I don't think we have time. We'll get him coming back. But McClellan, referring to what everybody in the world knows, these restraint chairs where people are strapped in and liquid filled with crap is force-fed down these people's gullets. This is torture. And they throw up. And they excrete all over themselves. And they scream in agony. And this son of a bitch stands there. That's how I've been doing it in a humane manner.
But the one little duck with the feather on his back. He led the others with the quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. He led the others with the quack, quack, quack. The river they would come, wibble wobble, wibble wobble, ho hum tum. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with a quack, 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 quack.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy. Don't you dare to try to stop us.
Nine before the hour. And finally tonight, a couple of fun clips on the most recent neocon scandals. Reporter Martha here asks about Irving and Cheney. Is that a polka I hear? Could Fitzmaurice be just around the corner yet again? Martha says, Scott, the National Journal is reporting that Irving Libby has testified that Vice President Cheney authorized him to release classified material involving the National Intelligence Estimate in Iraq. Do you know anything about this?
I heard about this story earlier today, but I think you know our policy when it comes to this ongoing legal proceeding, and it hasn't changed.
Do you know anything about any authorization to release?
Well, again, I mean, our policy is we're not going to discuss this while it's an ongoing legal proceeding, and that remains our policy.
Bitch. Last but not least, a question on the Bush-Abramoff connection. These two are closer than a couple of 10-cent whores working over two people pulling up the side of the curb. Come on, come on, come on. Today, Abramoff said he was invited to the Prairie Chapel Ranch for a personal thank you from Bush for raising, $100,000, $200,000 for the unelected monkey man. But Abramoff didn't go because, well, you know, it's Saturday and he's an Orthodox Jew and all that. Please. Anyway, the reporter said, Scott, back at the January press conference, the president said he didn't know Jack Abramoff. Abramoff is saying that he met with the president nearly a dozen times. The president joked about a bunch of things like details of Abramoff's kids. He also said he was invited to the president's ranch. And that the president has one of the best memories of any politician he's ever met. Does that help the president perhaps to remember that there were many meetings in which he met Abramoff?
I think what the president said still stands, that Mr. Abramoff is someone who was involved in wrongdoing. He acknowledged that himself. He is being brought to account, and there is an investigation going on by the Justice Department. They're continuing to pursue the matter. And
all right, let's start that one again.
I think what the president said still stands, that Mr. Abramoff is someone who was involved in wrongdoing. And there is an investigation going on by the Justice Department. They are continuing to pursue the matter and go after anybody else that was involved in wrongdoing. I think as the president also indicated, he's taken at least five photos with many people in this room at the annual holiday reception.
What the hell does that have? What does that have to do with anything? Punk ass. What does that prove? Unless the White House press corps has committed major felonies and defrauded Native American tribes and funneled illegal money into shady political campaigns. Okay, Helen Thomas, get up here and confess. You did it, didn't you? Huh? What did he say? They're continuing to pursue the matter and go after anybody else that was involved in the wrongdoing. Well, then that means you are soon going to be gainfully unemployed, doesn't it, Scott? I mean, eventually they're going to nail your boss. No, really? No. Really? Scott? It just exhausts me, doesn't it, you? Huh? Sitting here listening to this garbage. Okay. Let's do a phone call or two or three here. Where are we? Let me take a look. Tina is calling from St. Paul. Let's hear from Tina. Hey, Tina, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Early in the show, you were mentioning where'd the humanity go, and I've been wondering that for a very long time. And I just wanted to say something that people really need to think about. Is that if Gore would have been elected president, those two towers would still be standing.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt because I don't think Gore was into blowing up sections of his own country in order to seize utter and absolute control. Bush was and still is.
Yeah. And
see, that's just my personal belief. You don't have to say yeah to that. I know a lot of people are still reluctant.
Yeah, I try to educate as many of my family members and everybody as much as possible about the lies and the facts. And I send pictures from, like, Peace Takes Courage of children that are, like, dismembered and stuff, and it's just like, and they, and people still come back and say, well, it could happen to our country, you know? And I just say, I would rather have to, you know, I'd rather, you know, die for my liberty than to
murder for it.
Murder for it, exactly.
Especially children.
Yeah.
It's no, I understand exactly what you're saying.
It's frustrating, really frustrating, trying to get people to open their eyes.
Open your eyes. Time to wake up.
I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, listen. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it, Tina. You have a nice evening. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. No, you don't have to agree with me on the Bush involvement in the attack on this country on September 11, 2001. Like I've said, the past couple, five nights, after a couple of years of studying this as best I could, it's my own conclusion that fits into my life, my mind, my understanding of how evil these sons of bitches are. You have to find your own level. We'll be back.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villagrosa has responded to a White House report that says Al-Qaeda had plans to attack an L.A. high-rise building following 9/11. Villagrosa says he was aware of some of the post-9/11 information, but says the White House should have told all of the concerned citizens more.
I think we should have known from the very beginning. You shouldn't be confused about that. I mean, there are some things that maybe they can't divulge, depending on security clearance and the like, but I think for the most part, you should have more details, not less. We're the first responders. You know, in any emergency, in any disaster, the cities are the first responders.
The mayor adds that he hopes the White House will be more open in the future. A bipartisan group of senators say they have reached agreement on changes to the USA Patriot Act that make the law more attractive for legislators who will consider reauthorizing it for years at a time. Rhode Island Republican Senator John Sununu says the group has agreed on improvements in three areas.
We add a judicial review process for the 215 subpoena gag order. We have always said that if you're going to impose a gag order, you ought to at least allow citizens to challenge that gag order in a court before a judge.
Illinois Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says the proposed changes work to better protect the civil liberties of Americans. British citizen Neil Entwistle has been arrested in London. The DA in Middlesex County, Massachusetts, says Entwistle allegedly shot and killed his 27-year-old wife, Rachel, and their 9-month-old daughter, Lillian, last month. Investigators say Entwistle killed them because he was in financial trouble. They theorized that Entwistle had planned a murder-suicide, but he changed his mind about killing himself. Without a second thought, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg fired a city worker in Albany who had a solitaire card game up on his work computer screen. Jim Smith has that story.
A round of cards, anyone? Just make sure Mayor Bloomberg isn't watching.
Your workplace is not an appropriate place for games. It's a place where you've got to do the job that you're getting paid for.
You think he's kidding? Just ask Edward Greenwood, the city worker canned in Albany.
I hadn't had any disciplinary information in my file at all. Nothing negative at all up until that point.
On the East Side, Jim Smith, New York.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
about 7 past the hour. Phone calls. Dave is calling from Chicago. Dave, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Glad to be able to talk to you again. It's been a while.
My pleasure.
I was curious. I haven't really heard many people talk about this. When President Chuckle-Nuts was at the funeral for Coretta Scott King,
uh-huh.
Have you seen any of the pictures? Did you see that look on Laura Bush's face when the Reverend, what was his name, Reverend Lowell?
Lowry.
Lowry was speaking?
Uh-huh.
She was staring knives at him. I mean, she was beyond pissed.
Yeah, this is the first time that Bush was forced to sit in an environment that contained the public that was not totally sanitized and controlled. There were people on the stage, there were people behind him, people in front of him, people all around there who despised the dirty bastard for what he has done and didn't have to give up their signs, not that they had any, or take off their T-shirts, not that they were wearing any. This was a respectful crowd, but what Bush doesn't understand, and what a lot of white folks don't understand, is that the black church in this country has been the one haven, the one place over the history of this country where black folk could go and find sanctuary, almost to the extent that a church was sanctuary back in medieval times. It was until the white knight riders decided to burn the churches down too. So yeah, it was great to see the squirmy bastard having to sit there and listen to it. Not that he understood most of what was said, because he's such an ignorant little man, and his old lady who claims to have been a librarian at one time, yeah, she's usually the barometer. I think she's picked up a lot of that from her demonic mother-in-law, where Laura can sit there and using her face register the kind of discomfort they're going through.
Well, I saved that picture for posterity, and I mean, I don't have any kids or anything. I'm 42, but in the event if I ever do, that's definitely a picture that, you know, somewhere down the road, you want to show the younger generations and say, well, this was a man and a woman who were not too well-liked, and they put on this big facade is that they were unifiers and uniters and stuff, and you know, this is what she really thinks. Hey,
yeah.
Mike, two more quick things. One, you talked about the depleted uranium. Where can I find that source?
Just type depleted uranium into a Google.
No, I mean as far as the guys that are coming back and dying.
This is in it was from a television station in Connecticut. Just go to, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
NBC 30, a numeral 30, NBC30.com.
Okay, because I got a buddy that just came back there. I talked to you once about him.
Yeah.
He was over there twice in Iraq. He's a Marine. He's a good guy, but sometimes he's still sort of jingoistic. And I keep telling him, like, you know, you better get your ass down there and get yourself checked out, because you never know.
Yeah, just go to NBC30.com, and it's the story of soldiers face debilitating diseases.
Also, I want to tell you one last thing before I go. You know who's actually echoing a lot of the same stuff that you've been saying? And I disagree with this guy on just about almost every issue, but I started listening to him because he's just so out there. He's whacked out.
Don't say Don Wade.
No.
Okay.
I hate Don Wade.
Yeah, okay.
Michael Allen Weiner. Savage.
Oh, Savage?
He's been beating the hell out of Bush every night. He said, in fact, if Condi ran, the IQ of the nation would go up about 150 points. And he's pissed off that, oh, we got sold a bill of goods. And
Well, you
voted for him.
Yeah, be careful when you listen to Savage. He will make your mind turn into liquid and run out your ears.
Well, I like to laugh at him. Because
well, I know. Right. He's like G. Gordon Liddy. These are evil sons of bitches. They're like Robert Barr, Bob Barr, who was a congressman from the district here next to where I live. Just a right-wing, raving, clenching maniac. But all of a sudden, you see, these guys, these neo-Nazis...
Hit him in the head like a brick.
Yeah, well, they're not in positions of power. If Michael Savage or Bob Barr or any of these people were in the government right now, they would be saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with this kind of surveillance. But they don't want some of their dirty, snot-filled laundry to be made public, and they're terrified. So, yeah, Savage is an opportunist, too. Most of these right-wingers are opportunists. If they see that there is a trend toward not liking, for example, the wiretapping, then they jump on the trend.
Well, he calls Limbaugh the golfer.
Well,
because he was pissed off about something about, Rusty's show.
Yeah,
you know,
just be careful when you listen to him, because it'll pollute your mind. You think you're putting up a defense, but be careful.
Well, let me ask you, how can Limbaugh claim to be addicted to OxyContin? I was thinking about this, and then just last week he was claiming on his show, he was bragging about how he's going to a golf tournament. If he's got a messed up back and it's bad and he's on painkillers, what the hell is he golfing?
Right, well...
You just
had a bingo moment there. You know, there's no back problem. There never was. A lying son of a bitch. He's like a lot of people. He just discovered OxyContin and decided, wow, man, I can get high on this stuff. Jesus,
well,
God!
I hope one of your listeners in Florida will bring that up somehow, some way to the prosecutor and,
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see what's happened to that case anyway. It's kind of disappeared. Hey, David, thank you. I got to move on.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, take care. Take care. Dave is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dave, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Mike,
yes,
thank
sir.
You for taking the call.
Sure.
Great show. Hey, real quick, I want to go ahead and reference to something that one of your callers said earlier, basically about evil these people were dealing with. You have to go ahead and think about, one quick question. I wonder, does anyone know George Bush's birthday? Was it the same day as the day that Hitler killed himself?
I don't know. George is July something.
Well, one thing I was alluding to earlier here, as far as if you think about it, look at the mercury they're putting in people's teeth. And you also stated before here, it's well known that the Nazis actually used fluoride to go ahead and make their prisoners subversive, basically, dumb them down. You have to realize the kind of people we're dealing here. They are willing to kill people, destroy people's lives willingly, poison people, so long as they get to their main objective, and that is control over the population. They use their religion as a knife to stick in the back of people or in the gut. They don't care.
Well, that's I certainly agree with you there. Yeah. And it doesn't make any difference if it's Americans or anybody.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, America is finally waking up to it. In the world, I think the reason why is I don't know whether he was complicit in this 9/11 thing. I have a feeling that he knew about it. Because the fact that Building 7 was, I've got tape basically recording of it that said it was taken down with explosives. But,
let me suggest something. You can pretty much get this DVD free. It's all over the internet. But loosechange911.com. If you just go there, loosechange911.com. Look at this movie. It runs about an hour, a little over an hour and 20 minutes, this movie Loose Change. And then just make your own, the stuff that you don't agree with, just say to yourself, I don't agree with that. The stuff you do agree with, okay. This is not a propaganda DVD. Granted, the voiceover, the guy doing the voiceover certainly has a point of view, just like I do, like you do.
Yeah.
But if you just watch it and listen to it, that's all. Loosechange911.com, okay?
I've got it written down. I'll check it out this weekend here.
Yeah,
real quick here, Cliff, before I go and let you go. One thing alluding to that is about the 9/11. If you remember, when that plane supposedly hit the Pentagon,
yeah,
all those tapes of the surrounding area, as far as the parking lot, I believe it was, it actually had tapes pointed directly at the Pentagon. They went and put that into what they call it
deep freeze. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. There were three cameras, I think, three video cameras, surveillance cameras trained on that, and the film is all gone. But they get into in loosechange911.com or the Loose Change film. They get into that. So check it out, and we'll talk after you've seen the movie. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Been looking all around me and what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor and he agrees with me.
crazy. Well, my wife returns from taking my little girl to school. She got me into perspiration as she tries to keep her cool. She's still...
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
For me to say I didn't have pictures with the guy when I did. I mean, people, it's part of the job of the president to shake hands and with people and smile.
Is he talking about Jeff, me love you long time, Gannon? Or is he talking about Abramoff? Or is he talking about Ken Lay?
You think even Bush would forget who he got a $100,000 donation from?
Oh, he got more than that. That was just the part that they reported. All right. We're not going to have time to get into this tonight because I want to get right back to phone calls. But did you see the big ad in New York Times today from the something called the Evangelical Climate Initiative? Working together, it says, and with God's help, we can make a difference. The headlines, full-page ad in the Times, headline says, our commitment to Jesus Christ compels us to solve the global warming crisis. And it's signed, full-page ad, I wish I had time to read it right now, but it's signed by maybe 20, including Reverend Rick Warren, the guy that wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. All of these preachers. But if you take a look at it, today's Times, you'll notice several names missing. People who claim they're evangelicals, Dobson, Falwell, Robertson. You see, they want, see, to a lot of these evangelicals, interfering with global warming means that we're just prolonging the return of Jesus, because Jesus only loves death and chaos and blood and gore and dead Jews and dead babies and dead Muslims and dead, well, according to the Protestants, dead Catholics. So, you know, Jesus is a mass killer who you know, drinks human blood through a straw, apparently, to these people. So the evangelical, yeah, I wish I had a lot of money because I'd like to put an ad in the New York Times that said, hey, guys, you know, you're about 10 years too late and screw you. You know, just screw you. Now, you're not supposed to do that. When somebody finally wakes up to the truth, you're supposed to extend the hand of fellowship and say, welcome aboard. You know, even though you're an evil bastard who used your pulpit to promote the idea that global warming was not occurring, now you've waked up. Of course, it's too damn late now. So you're going to have your hell as prophesized in Revelation, but it's not going to be, somewhere down in a pit. It's going to be right here. Jesus, I hate these people. And I just wonder, what's the pig man going to do? You know, Limbaugh, the pig man, who has told his absolutely ignorant, stupid audience for the past 15 years that no such thing as global warming existed. Well, now they're saying that Jesus wants them to focus on global warming, just like Jesus wanted George to go bomb Iraq, and Jesus wanted this, and Jesus wanted that. So what is Limbaugh going to do now, huh? Not that I give a tinker's damn, but I find it, well, probably just increase his OxyContin intake, drug-addled son of a bitch. But there it was, the full-page ad, New York Times, all these evangelicals. Oh, well, we think Jesus wants us to work against... man, you people make me sick. And see, I'm not extending the right hand of fellowship. Oh, gee, Mike, you're such a bastard. You really are. Edie is calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Edie, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Gee, I was a young woman when this started out.
Yeah?
Good to talk to you again. It's been a while. I wanted to talk to you just briefly about the fact that the cyborgs, Cheney and Sleazy Gonzalez, are running to PBS now to be interviewed by, you know, respectable mainstream journalists like Charlie Rose and Jim Lehrer.
Uh-huh.
And Jim Lehrer just did a beautiful job. Did you see him yesterday with his wide eyes? And
no, I didn't.
You know, Cheney's like, well, I'm sure we've saved thousands of American lives, or you know how he is.
Oh, yeah.
And Jim Lehrer's like, oh, I just want to make sure I understand you, Mr. Vice President. Do you believe, or is it really true that thousands of Americans have been saved because of these, you know, wiretaps? And he was, well, he's more delicate than I could ever be, but he just, it was beautiful, because that creep is so used to, you know, being teabagged on Fox. You know, they love him.
Yeah, oh, sure. Edie? Edie, guess who's after you? I'm sorry, Edie. I'm sorry. It just happens. I guess we should I guess we should take a break now. Every time that happens, I just envision in my mind that where the caller was, whoever the caller was, you know, man or woman, sitting, standing, lying down, talking on the phone, that wherever that caller was, and then that occurs, there's a little puff of black smoke. Oh. All right, we'll be back right after this break and do our reading tonight from George Orwell's 1984. Stick around. I'm Mike Molloy.
The Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio. For all those things you no longer need,
I sold it.
Bring them to I Sold It, the number one seller on eBay, with hundreds of drop-off stores nationwide.
I sold it.
Our trained staff will photograph your item, create a great eBay listing, collect payment, then pack and ship. You just cash the check.
I sold it.
Stop by or call for a free eBay appraisal. It's easy and there's no charge if it doesn't sell.
I sold it.
I sold it, the easy way to sell on eBay. To reach an I Sold It store, call 877-I-SOLD-IT. Toll free, 877-I-SOLD-IT. Franchises available.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
It's about 26 before the hour. I just want to pass this on. SK sent it to me. There is a site that has all the 9/11 videos that you could possibly want. They're all free. It's free downloads. It is question911.com. That's all it is. Question911.com. Question911.com. When you get there, go to the download page, and they're all there. Okay? So the people are putting these videos together and putting them out there for people to just look at. It's obvious what's going on here. An attempt to educate people using the footage, the film, the video work of everything that occurred on that day. So look at it and make your own decision. Your own decision. Question911.com is the address. When we left off last night, Winston was again writing in his diary, but he was also questioning or thinking about the proles, the proletariat, the people, the proles, and the attitude of the party toward the proles, who made up, probably 70-80% of the population, and that's where we find him tonight. They were born, they grew up in the gutters, they went to work at 12, they passed through a brief blossoming period of beauty and sexual desire, they married at 20, they were middle-aged at 30, they died for the most part at 60. Heavy physical work, the care of home and children, petty quarrels with neighbors, films, football, beer, and above all, gambling, filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult. A few agents of the thought police moved always among them, spreading false rumors and marking down and eliminating the few individuals who were judged capable of becoming dangerous. But no attempt was made to indoctrinate them with the ideology of the party. It was not desirable that the proles should have strong political feelings. All that was required of them was a primitive patriotism, which could be appealed to whenever it was necessary to make them accept longer working hours or shorter rations. And even when they became discontented, as they sometimes did, their discontent led nowhere. Because being without general ideas, they could only focus it on petty, specific grievances. The larger evils invariably escaped their notice. The great majority of proles did not even have telescreens in their homes. Even the civil police interfered with them very little. There was a vast amount of criminality in London. A whole world within a world of thieves and bandits, prostitutes, drug peddlers, racketeers of every description. But since it all happened among the proles themselves, it was of no importance. In all questions of morals, they were allowed to follow their ancestral code. The sexual puritanism of the party was not imposed upon them. Promiscuity went unpunished. Divorce was permitted. For that matter, even religious worship would have been permitted if the proles had shown any sign of needing or wanting it. They were beneath suspicion. As the party slogan put it, proles and animals are free. Winston reached down and cautiously scratched his varicose ulcer. It had begun itching again. The thing you invariably came back to was the impossibility of knowing what life before the revolution had really been like. He took out of the drawer a copy of the children's history textbook, which he had borrowed from Mrs. Parsons, and began copying a passage into his diary. In the old days, it ran, before the Glorious Revolution, London was not the beautiful city that we know today. It was a dark, dirty, miserable place where hardly anybody had enough to eat, and where hundreds and thousands of poor people had no boots on their feet, not even a roof to sleep under. Children no older than you had to work 12 hours a day for cruel masters who flogged them with their whips if they worked too slowly and fed them on nothing but stale bread crusts and water. But in among all this terrible poverty, there were just a few great, big, beautiful houses that were lived in by rich men who had as many as 30 servants to look after them. These rich men were called capitalists. They were fat, ugly men with wicked faces, like the one in the picture on the opposite page. You can see that he is dressed in a long black coat, which was called a frock coat, and a queer shiny hat shaped like a stovepipe, which was called a top hat. This was the uniform of the capitalists, and no one else was allowed to wear it. The capitalists owned everything in the world, and everyone else was their slave. They owned all the land, all the houses, all the factories, and all the money. If anyone disobeyed them, they could throw them into prison, or they could take his job away and starve him to death. When any ordinary person spoke to a capitalist, he had to cringe and bow to him and take off his cap and address him as sir. The chief of all the capitalists was called the king, but he knew the rest of the catalog. There would be mention of the bishops in their lawn sleeves, the judges in their ermine robes, the pillory, the stocks, the treadmill, the cat of nine tails, the Lord Mayor's banquet, and the practice of kissing the Pope's toe. There was also something called jus primae noctis, which would probably not be mentioned in a textbook for children. It was a law by which every capitalist had the right to sleep with any woman working in one of his factories. How could you tell how much of it was lies? It might be true that the average human being was better off now than he had been before the revolution. The only evidence to the contrary was the mute protest in your own bones, the instinctive feeling that the conditions you lived in were intolerable and that at some other time they must have been different. It struck him that the truly characteristic thing about modern life was not its cruelty and insecurity, but simply its bareness, its dinginess, its listlessness. Life, if you looked about you, bore no resemblance not only to the lies that streamed out of the telescreens, but even to the ideals that the party was trying to achieve. Great areas of it, even for a party member, were neutral and non-political, a matter of slogging through dreary jobs, fighting for a place on the tube, darning a worn-out sock, caging a saccharin tablet, saving a cigarette end. The ideal set up by the party was something huge, terrible, and glittering, a world of steel and concrete, of monstrous machines and terrifying weapons, a nation of warriors and fanatics marching forward in perfect unity, all thinking the same thoughts and shouting the same slogans, perpetually working, fighting, triumphing, persecuting 300 million people, all with the same face. The reality was decaying, dingy cities where underfed people shuffled to and fro in leaky shoes, in patched-up 19th-century houses that smelt always of cabbage and bad lavatories. He seemed to see a vision of London, vast and ruinous, city of a million dustbins, and mixed up with it was a picture of Mrs. Parsons, a woman with lined face and wispy hair, fiddling helplessly with a blocked wastepipe. He reached down and scratched his ankle again. Day and night, the telescreens bruised your ears with statistics proving that people today had more food, more clothes, better houses, better recreations, that they lived longer, worked shorter hours, were bigger, healthier, stronger, happier, more intelligent, better educated than the people of 50 years ago. Not a word of it could ever be proved or disproved. The party claimed, for example, that today 40% of adult proles were literate. Before the revolution, it was said the number had only been 15%. The party claimed that the infant mortality rate was now only 160 per thousand, whereas before the revolution it had been 300, and so it went on. It was like a single equation with two unknowns. It might very well be that literally every word in the history books, even the things that one accepted without question, was pure fantasy. For all he knew, there might never have been any such law as the jus primae noctis, or any such creature as a capitalist, or any such garment as a top hat. Everything faded into mist. The past was erased. The erasure was forgotten. The lie became truth. Just once in his life he had possessed, after the event. That was what counted, concrete, unmistakable evidence of an act of falsification. He had held it between his fingers for as long as 30 seconds. In 1973, it must have been. At any rate, it was about the time when he and Catherine had parted, but the really relevant date was 7 or 8 years earlier. The story really began in the middle 60s, the period of the Great Purges, in which the original leaders of the revolution were wiped out once and for all. By 1970, none of them was left, except Big Brother himself. All the rest had, by that time, been exposed as traitors and counter-revolutionaries. Goldstein had fled and was hiding no one knew where, and one of the others and of the others, a few had simply disappeared, while the majority had been executed after spectacular public trials at which they made confessions of their crimes. Among the last survivors were three men named Jones, Aronson, and Rutherford. It must have been in 1965 that these three had been arrested. As often happened, they had vanished for a year or more so that one did not know whether they were alive or dead, and then had suddenly been brought forth to incriminate themselves in the usual way. They had confessed to intelligence with the enemy. At that date, too, the enemy was Eurasia. Embezzlement of public funds, the murder of various trusted party members, intrigues against the leadership of Big Brother, which had started long before the revolution happened, and acts of sabotage causing the death of hundreds of thousands of people. After confessing to these things, they had been pardoned, reinstated in the party, and given posts which were, in fact, sinecures, but which sounded important. All three had written long, abject articles in the Times, analyzing the reasons for their defection and promising to make amends.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Thanks, as always, to our New York crew, Justin Yuen, Jason Isaac, engineered the program. Dee Neal is our associate producer. Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Don't forget, tomorrow night, all the bumper music will be music performed by Kevin Kenney and or Drivin' and Cryin', Kevin's old band. One of the best regional bands. They did have a big breakout during the late 80s. Fly Me Courageous, if you can get your hands on that CD, which I'm sure you can, it's got some great music on it. But anyway, for folks who email me frequently, different people, not the same people, over and over, different people say, why do you say have a great weekend, Kevin Kenney? Who the hell is Kevin Kenney? You know, I say that every Friday night. Kind of like Jimmy Durante saying, good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever you are. All the old people in the audience just went, Jesus, he's our age. No, I don't remember that. I just, anyway. Well, it's like Keith Olbermann saying good night and good luck. You know, that's an Edward R. Murrow thing. Anybody in this business is essentially a thief in radio talk business. Trust me on that one, okay? So tomorrow night, Drivin' and Cryin' music. If you're a Drivin' and Cryin' fan, you'll have a good time. If you're not, you might enjoy the music. Kevin Kenney has a website. It's K-E-V-N. Leave out the I. Kevin Kenney, K-I-N-N-E-Y.com. And you can check out the music there if you want to. No, I don't get a percentage. He's a friend, and I like his music. That's all. That's all. Just like whenever Afro Skull is doing something that we can talk about, Jason Isaac's band, we bring it up because, that's a good band, too. Different kind of music, different. But, you know, if you have friends who are in a band, if I had a friend who was a nuclear physicist, well, I do, as a matter of fact. That would be our Aurora Bureau Chief, Marianne. You know, you talk about nuclear physics.
And your brother.
Oh, that's true. My brother was, okay. All right, that's all. I'm sorry. Priscilla is calling from Montana. Priscilla, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Priscilla.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I was reading earlier today about the defense in the Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skillings trial. Do you know what their defense is going to be?
No, that they were only following orders.
No, no, no.
No?
They really believed that what they were doing was right. And don't you love this?
Yeah, well, isn't that what the German high command said at Nuremberg? Not that I'm trying to compare the two, your murderous World War II and a bunch of pissant thieves out in Texas. But, yeah, we thought we were doing the right thing.
That's exactly what they're saying. They're saying, and this is truly what their defense is going to be based on, is that they did not realize that their underlings were doing these dreadful things and bankrupting California. They thought what they were doing was right. So this is going to lead us into the Bush crime family's defense, is that we thought we were doing the right thing.
Well, yeah, don't forget, I don't think any of us should forget, although it's easy, that where it concerns Bush and Cheney, the only legal recourse the Constitution allows against a sitting president and assumably a vice president is impeachment. Now, the Supreme Court ruled, in, like I said the other night, in Jones versus Clinton, they ruled unanimously that a civil suit can proceed against a sitting president. But as far as criminal activity that these killers have waged against the American people with their attack on this country on September 11, 2001, and their attack on Iraq, and their attack on Afghanistan, and whatever, wherever else they're attacking, the almost attack on Venezuela, all the
and
other places.
And their impending attack on Iran.
Well, that too. The only way that they can be held accountable while they're in office on a criminal level is through impeachment. The Constitution specifically states that the only recourse, the only relief, I believe, would be the legal term that American public has is to impeach them, and that's up to the House of Representatives.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I mean, if this is it's a criminal suit in Texas, isn't it, against these guys?
This is a criminal suit.
I was living in California when this happened, and I mean, I drive around And people, there was no power.
I know.
Because these guys, and the power station right where I live was closed down for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it. They mm-hmm. just closed it down so they could create an artificial power shortage. But their defense is going to be, oh, gee, we thought we were doing the right thing. So it's going to be fascinating to see what will happen.
It will. And the thing that makes me most furious about all that was the way the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, and his parrot, Sean Hannity, and the rest of these right-wing radio talk show hosts said that the reason there were power blackouts in California, for example, was because environmentalists had thwarted every effort to build generating or transmission stations over the past 20 years. And of course it was a lie. Everyone who had a brain knew it was a lie. But when I say everyone had a brain, I'm only talking about 15% of the American public. The other 85% bought into it and said, yeah, it's those GD environmentalists. They're the ones responsible. And that is thanks to right-wing radio.
Now, well, the people, one of my neighbors worked at that power plant in Oxnard, California, and he said, they closed us down. There's no reason to close us down. They just want to create a shortage.
Create a shortage, people, drive up the price, make billions.
They got rid of Gray Davis and bought in Arnie.
Yeah, right, well.
Hey, listen, have a great weekend.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Priscilla. Take care. Just like the right-wing talk show hosts have insisted to their half-witted, jackassy audience that there's no such thing as global warming. And now you have 20 or 30 evangelicals saying preachers and high priests and bone rattlers and, you know, snake oil salesmen selling that superstitious crap. There they are with a full-page ad in the New York Times. Jesus wants us to stop global warming. Well, guess what, jerk? Oh, almost said it. Guess what? It's way too late. Huh? What are you going to do? Pray it away? Yeah, that'll work. Thanks for participating tonight. I'm sorry to wind up on such a cynical note, but these people just infuriate me. Oh, well. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, however you did that. Take care. Watch your back, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
For all those things you no longer need,
I sold it.
Bring them to I Sold It, the number one seller on eBay, with hundreds of drop-off stores nationwide.
I sold it.
Our trained staff will photograph your item, create a great eBay listing, collect payment, then pack and ship. You just cash the check.
I sold it.
Stop by or call for a free eBay appraisal. It's easy and there's no charge if it doesn't sell.
I sold it.
I sold it, the easy way to sell on eBay. To reach an I Sold It store, call 877-I-SOLD-IT. Toll-free, 877-I-SOLD-IT. Franchises available.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.